This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com. All right, let's begin this morning by playing a game. You guys up for a game?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called a noise game. You're gonna make noises. No, I'm just kidding. You're gonna hear noises, and then you have to guess what those noises are, okay? We're gonna see how alert and awake you guys are. Okay, ready? First noise. Kick it. Oh, alarm clock. You know, that's great. You know, the first service, they go, bells. And I was thinking maybe that's why so many of them are late. Anyway, okay, here's the next one. Go ahead. Dog, right? Okay, good. All right, here's the next one. Yeah, all right, good. Okay, here's another one. This one's kind of fun. You like? All right, you can just use your imagination right there, okay? That's my 2-year-old in the bathtub. No, I'm kidding. I can't believe I just said that. All right. All right, another one. Go ahead. Helicopter. Yeah, that's right. That's the helicopter dropping the eggs on Easter weekend, right? Okay, here's one more. You ready? Go ahead. Sheep, yeah. All right, you guys deserve a big hand clap. Give yourselves a hand this morning. You know, a lot of different noises out there, isn't there? And of course, a lot of different people who make all kinds of different noises, aren't there? That's right, all of us do, right? We all make interesting noises sometimes. For me, it's when I'm sleeping. Oh, yeah, when I'm sleeping, it's called snoring. Yeah, I make a lot of noise when I sleep. In fact, I'll never forget a couple years ago, I was in New York City with a good friend of mine. And neither one of us realized this, but we both had a real serious snoring issue. And well, let me tell you, okay, and I wish we would have known that because we would not have shared a hotel room because it was a mess. I mean, it was like, okay, he's over in his bed, I'm in mine, and like the minute our heads hit the pillows, it's like the symphony from H-E Double Hockey Sticks kicks in right then. It was just horrible. All night, it was like a nightmare. Have you ever had one of those dreams that just keeps repeating itself and you can't get out of it? That's what it was like. It was horrible. You know, we kept waking each other up. We'd go, hey, stop. And then we'd look at each other. You know, we'd both be awake. And then of course, it was almost like there was a contest then to see who would get to sleep fastest before the other person started snoring again. Anyway, I'm pretty certain those snores became famously known as the snores, you know, heard around the world or something. Anyway, if you think about it, interesting noises have been a part and have been heard around the world since the very beginning of time. And in fact not just heard around the world, but it was actually, if you think about it, a noise or a sound that was behind the very creation of the earth itself. Genesis chapter 1, we find the first mention of sound of noise anywhere in the scriptures. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. In verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Did you catch that? God said, let there be light, and there was. In fact, in the Hebrew text actually says, light be, and there was light. And then on down the list, water, right? God spoke it, it happened. Land, grass, trees, animals. And then, of course, it was by this same sound, by this same noise, this noise of God, that man himself was created. And see, as you journey through the scriptures, you'll find that this noise of God has been moving across this earth since the very beginning of time. And yet, it's not just the sound or the noise of God, but it was also the sound and the noise of his people. That's right. I mean, the people of God have been making a lot of sound since the beginning of time. And then that sound has continued to resound and has stirred and shaken people and nations and kingdoms in a way that this world has never seen before. And here we are now, right? March 25th, 2007. And God saw fit that you and I would be sitting here today as a part of this community called The Orchard. And the call of God for us, the call of God for us right here is the same call that has been on the church of Jesus for thousands of years. And it's a call to keep making noise. It's a call to keep making noise, a noise that changes your life. And many of you know that because your life has been so impacted by the noise of God. It changes your life. It changes my life. And of course, it's a noise that goes way beyond just you and me. It begins changing lives of people right here in our own community and even in other places around this world, which is why, man, I'll tell you what, I just get so excited when I look back over this last year, 2006, because you and I and all of us who are part of this church community called The Orchard, man, have been really busy making a lot of noise. Man, what a year, huh? Man. I tell you what, man, there has been a lot of noise made, hasn't there? In fact, when I was, thank you, we have one Pentecostal here today. That's awesome. Anyway, I remember when I first watched this with Amanda, I said to her, I said, boy, you know, man, where was I for all that? You know, it just went by so fast, you know, and when you're in the middle of it, you just don't realize it. But when you watch it, you just realize, man, how great, you know, and what God has done here over this last year. Well, as you know, today is Vision Sunday, and I want to do something I don't usually take the time to do a whole lot on Sunday mornings. I want to take a few minutes, and I want to share specifically with you some things that God has done over this last year, and then I want to take some time in a few minutes, a little bit later in the service, and share with you some things we believe that God is calling us to do over these next 12 months, over this next year. We're going to take our time today, too, because this is a kind of a family gathering today. And if you're visiting here, I'll tell you what, this is a great weekend for you to be here because you're going to see a lot about really what The Orchard is about. Well, as you know, because we are a church, you know, when it comes to measuring success or when it comes to measuring church health, you don't measure it the same way you would a business. Because, I mean, it's not just about money. I mean, we're talking about people's lives that are being changed. And so you're dealing with a lot of intangibles. And yet, at the same time, there are some tangibles that we can look at and can be measured. For example, attendance. You know, how many people we have had the opportunity to reach every weekend here at The Orchard. And in case you're wondering, yes, we do count people. We count, you've all been counted today, and no, you really have, and see, here's the thing, we count people because this is such an important indicator to us of how we're doing at reaching new people in our community, and of course, it's also an indicator of how well you all are doing at inviting your unchurched friends, family, and neighbors, and so let's begin. I want to begin by showing you some real black and white information that'll help you see what's happened over this last year. Let's talk about attendance. And to help sort of, I guess, paint a picture for some of you, maybe some of you are new to the church and you haven't really seen where we've come these last couple of years, I want to start a couple of years back over at 2004. And at that time, in 2004, our average weekend attendance, adults and children, was 376 people per weekend. Again, that includes adults and children. In 2005, we saw that number jump to 457. Again, in this last year, 2006, that number increased once again to an average weekend attendance of 549. So as you can see, man, we've really seen some very strong positive growth happening in the arena of attendance, or, you know, of how many people we've had the opportunity to minister to and reach out to each weekend. Now, let me just say this. What's really exciting to me is how in these past even few weeks, we have seen that weekend attendance average jump up to around 650 people each weekend. That's exciting, isn't it? And so, you know, so as you can see, God is continuing to draw people to The Orchard. And let me just tell you this. I've never set an attendance goal for our church. But I'll tell you, this is one of the most exciting things in the world for me to see because, you know, it's a very clear indicator that what we're doing here and the commitment and the ownership that so many of you have taken with this mission is indeed working and it is affecting lives. Now, another arena that I want to show you is in the area of finances, okay? And let me just say, We really believe here at The Orchard that money and our finances is a very spiritual issue. And so it's important that we pay attention to what's happening in that area of giving in our church community, because we believe, just like the scriptures say, man, that you can't separate your heart from your money, from your stuff. The two are connected. Anyway, let's talk about that. And again, I want to go back to 2004 and start there. Our average weekly giving, this is our giving that occurs on Sunday mornings. Average weekend giving in 2004 was $10,585. In other words, here's how we figure that. If you added up all the Sunday giving for the entire year and you divide that into 52, you would get the average of $10,585. In 2005, we saw we continued to grow. We continued to see more people become committed to giving. We saw that number go up to $11,896 per weekend. That's about a 12% increase in over the year before. And I'll just tell you, that's really good. And if you've been around church any length of time, you know that a 12% increase, man, most churches would die to have 12% increase in their giving. And so that's a really great number. But then I want to show you what happened in 2006. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you don't get excited about this, you better check your pulse. Did you already put it up there? Dude. All right, that's all right. Look at this, $14,893 average giving in 2006. Am I right? 2006. That is a huge increase over 2005. I tell you, almost a $3,000 increase per weekend in giving. Again, another sign that God is working in people's life here at The Orchard. And just to give us another thing to celebrate, let me show you this. If so far in the first 3 months of 2007, our weekly giving average has continued to increase. And so far this year, in 2007, we've seen that number average around $16,700 just this year so far. I'll tell you, is that exciting or what, huh? Man, and see, part of the reason this is so encouraging to me goes back to some of the things we've been talking about these last few weeks with our series, Stuff and Bucks, where we've been talking about our stuff and our bucks and what God has to say about it, and because the Bible makes it so clear that wherever our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so what this tells me is that there are a lot of people's hearts that are becoming more and more excited about following Jesus. And that is the most exciting thing in the world for me, and I know for all of us. Amen. Now, let me show you another number real quick. This is what we refer to as giving units. I know that sounds kind of weird. Giving units, this is an important number to look at, because what this is how many people are engaged in giving every weekend. When you fill out an envelope with your giving, that allows us to keep track. What you're going to see here is how many people are engaged in giving. And the reason this is important is because you not only want to see the giving amounts go up, but you want to see more and more people getting involved in giving. And so I want to show you here, giving units starting back in 2004 was 85 average per weekend. 2005 jumped up 24% to 105. 2006 jumped up 23% to 129. And look at this, already, okay, in March, and I don't think we have that up here, but in March, you need to hear this. In March, our giving, just this month, our giving average has been over 150 people each weekend just in these last 3 or 4 weeks, huh? Man. So I really hope that this paints a picture for you of what God is doing here at The Orchard. And so in case you haven't noticed, I mean, we have really seen an encouraging trend here over the last few years. I think it's like 20% we've grown last year, 20% in attendance, 25% increase in our giving back to God. Our giving increase was higher than our attendance increase. Wow. Usually it's the opposite of that. 23% increase in giving units. I mean, man, I'll tell you, this is exactly what we want to see happen. We want to see growth. We want to see increase occur in every area. And so we just have a lot to celebrate. A couple other areas. One that, man, should cause us to just celebrate the roof off this place. And if that happens, that's cool with me. We'll just have our maintenance team get it back on there. in 2004 and 2005, we had the privilege of water baptizing, on average, around 30 to 40 people each year. And I remember being just blown away by that because, I mean, that's huge for any church. And I just remember going, holy smokes, this is amazing. Well, as many of you know, this last year, that number actually doubled, and we had the awesome privilege of baptizing right around 80 people this past summer at our barbecue and baptism. I tell you what, that is awesome. I would just sit and look at that for a few minutes. I tell you what, and I remember, a few weeks before the barbecue and baptism, sitting in my office before the service, and I just felt like God just kept, I just kept getting this number in my head of 75 people to get baptized this year. And I remember coming up on the stage, and sometimes you say things before you have a chance to really think about it, you know, and then you're like, oh, crap, I didn't mean to say that, you know? And that's 2 weeks in a row. Sorry. Anyway, so I remember, though, standing up on the stage and going, you know what? This year, we want to see 75 people get water baptized. And I remember walking off the stage and going, why did I say that? And we had 80 people get baptized last year. And so sometimes I just feel like God's daring us, you know? God's challenging us. I dare you to step out, and I dare you just to say it. And watch what I'll do. So anyway, exciting thing there. Another couple areas I want to show you. These past couple of years, we've done an outreach around Christmas time called Give a Blessing, Receive a Blessing. Many of you were part of that. Each year, we have two groups of people sign up to be a part of Give a Blessing, Receive a Blessing. The first group are those in our church who are in need of a blessing. Perhaps they've lost their job, perhaps they're just dealing with some things financially in their lives, and they just need some help. And that happens to all of us at some point in our life, different times in our life usually. And so we wanted to help those folks out, as well as friends of ours or people we know outside of this church who was also in need. And then the second group were those who wanted to be a blessing. And I'll tell you, this has turned into a huge opportunity for us. In 2005, and I remember thinking this was really big. In 2005, we had the opportunity to bless right around 50 people. Not bad, right? That's pretty good, right? Well, this past year in 2006, we had the opportunity to bless almost three times that amount, 140 people we were able to bless this last Christmas and provide them with something they would not have had otherwise. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Here's something else. A couple of areas I want to mention as well. Volunteerism. I don't have a chart for this, but I just want you to know the number of people serving here at the Orchard is at an all-time high. Currently, we've estimated that we have over 250 people involved in serving in this church community. 250 people. Goodness gracious. Now, another area you'll be hearing more about in a few minutes is missions. This past 12 months, we had the opportunity to invest a little under, I think, $10,000 to missions. We also had teams, as you saw in the video, that traveled different places around the world. In fact, we estimated over 23,000 miles around this world to take this mission of the Orchard to places way beyond, you know, where we're at locally here. I'm telling you guys, God is using the Orchard to make a difference, not only locally, but globally. And I'll tell you, here's something else I want to share with you that's pretty exciting, and I haven't really talked a whole lot about this up till now, but over these past 12 months, God has begun opening doors of influence with other churches and pastors and church leaders literally all over the United States and even beyond to other parts of the world. And that's happened through so many avenues. But in particular, what's happened is that people have begun hearing the story of the Orchard. They begin hearing what God has done here over the last few years and how God took a church that was declining, that was not hitting its target, and God was able to turn this thing around, and now we've seen things happen that we would have never dreamed of. And I'm telling you, that story's been getting out. People have been getting excited. The doors of influence have helped us. In fact, we've had the opportunity to help lead and guide numerous pastors and churches through their journey of change and transition. I'm spending almost, I think it's been a little, not as much lately, but there was a time that I was spending almost one day a week focused on coaching other pastors and helping them the best we could to journey through change and transition. So you guys need to know, you're a part of that. This is a part of the Orchard's mission of reaching out. I'm telling you, some noise is being made at the Orchard. Do you feel that? Do you sense that? Good stuff. Amen. And here's the thing, that noise that noise is gaining momentum. And that noise is getting, it's getting louder and louder, and the doors are continuing to open. There's things already this year that I'm not even sure I should talk about yet, and I'll wait, but there's some things this year that look like we're going to have an opportunity to be a part of nationally that is going to blow you away, and we're just so excited about it. And I'll tell you, as a result of all of this, I mean, the bottom line is more and more people are experiencing a new life in Jesus as a result of it all. And I'll tell you what, that's the most important thing. Let's go back to our Bibles. I want to share another story in the Scriptures. Again, it's a story about some noise that was made. It's a story about God's man, Joshua. Everyone say Joshua. Joshua. Joshua and his people who are called by God to reach out and take a city called Jericho captive. Well, we're told in the Scriptures that Jericho was not an easy place. You don't even just walk in, okay, hands up, we're taking over here. No, Jericho, in fact, we're told that the city gates of this city were kept tightly shut. And no one was allowed to come in, no one was allowed to go out, unless God was on your side. And of course, with Joshua and his people, God was on their side. And so God told Joshua, he said, okay, Josh, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to know that I have given you the city. It's a done deal. I've given it to you. In fact, not only is Jericho yours, okay, but I've given you its king, and I've given you its mighty warriors. It's all yours. Now, if Jericho was anything like most of us, chances are he was sitting there going, what? What do you mean? I mean, we're not even in the city yet. You're telling me that it's ours? Well, and then, of course, in Joshua chapter 6, God gets really specific on how he wants and how he wants them to bring this about. And he says to Joshua, he says, Joshua, I want you to march around this city once a day for the next 6 days. And I want you to get 7 priests who are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And on the 7th day, I want you to march around the city 7 times. And then I want those priests, as loud as they can, to blow those trumpets. And then when they blow the trumpets, I want all of the people to make a noise like you've never made it before. And so, of course, Joshua went, did exactly as God told him, and called the priest up, maybe not with a phone, but he must have emailed him, I'm sure. Anyway, so he called the priest up, told him what was going on, and for 6 days they obeyed God. They did what he said. They marched around the city, and finally, that seventh day came, and it was time for Joshua and all of his people to make some noise. And let me show you what happened. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. It says, on the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town 7 times. Listen to this. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And then down in verse 20, when the trumpets sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. The wall collapsed, and it says that everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They took the city. They took the city that God had given them. I mean, do you see what happened here? Okay, they heard God's voice, and they made some noise. They heard God's voice, and they made some noise. And what was the outcome? Their lives were changed forever. I mean, think about it. In one stinking week, man, in 7 days, these people's lives were changed forever because they heard God's voice, and they were committed, and they decided, we're going to obey God, and we are going to make some noise. And see, look. I mean, if you think about it, all right, listen, that's really all that you and I are responsible for. In fact, that's all that we as a church community are responsible to do, and that is this, number one, to hear God's voice. Now, that's what I'm convinced, that all we have to do is hear God's voice and have the faith and the courage to step out and obey him when he speaks to us.
I mean, I just feel like we won't go wrong as long as we hear God's voice. I mean, we'll win. We'll be obedient to him. And so if you would, in your bulletin, there's two lines. I want you to write these two phrases down. And the phrases are these two things we've got to do. And that is, number one, we've got to hear God's voice. And secondly, we've got to make some noise. Would you say those phrases? Let's say the first one. Ready? Hear God's voice and make some noise. But I mean, that's it, to hear God's voice and to make some noise. And as a result, look, these people's lives were changed forever. In just 1 week. 1 week. And see, here's the thing. Man, that is a part of what makes, see, that's what makes God God, right? Is that he is able to radically change your life. He's able to radically change mine. And he doesn't need 7 years to do it. He doesn't even need 7 weeks to do it. God is able to change your life and mine as fast as he wants. And I'll tell you, for them, it was 7 days. And see, listen to me. I'm telling you, God is looking for people. And he is looking for a church whose ears are wide open and listening to him, but who also has the faith and the courage to step out of their comfort zones and say, God, listen, God, we're serious, okay? We're ready. We're ready to go for it, okay? We're ready to get loud. We're ready to go to the next level in our obedience to you, in our giving to you, in our sacrifice to you. We're ready, God. We're serious about this. We are ready to obey you and make some noise. And see, that's what this whole vision thing, I mean, that's what this whole vision thing is all about. It's about asking and allowing God to pull us out of our comfort zones and into a place where our lives will be changed forever. And I'll tell you, God is saying to us, just like he said, he's saying, look, hey, Orchard, listen to me, Orchard. I've given you this community. It's yours. I've given it to you. But first, you are going to have to make some noise. You're going to have to make some noise. And see, I'll tell you this, man, a lot of noise has been made over this past year, and it was good, wasn't it? Man, it's exciting to see what's happened. It was awesome. I mean, we're so thankful for it, but I'm going to tell you something. God is calling us to the next level of noise. He is calling us. He is calling us to turn up the volume and to make more noise over these next 12 months beyond what was even made these last 12 months or even these last 12 years. God is calling us to make more noise. And it's a noise. Man, it's a noise that is so much louder and greater than anything we have ever made before. And because of that, it's going to take a higher level of sacrifice. It's going to take a higher level of commitment. It's going to take a higher level of risk. And look, you and I are going to have to take some big steps of faith in our life over these next 12 months. And I want to ask you, if you would, to turn your attention to our screens. And as you do that, I'm actually going to ask if the welcome teams would come on up. They're going to hand out a card that I want you to have. It's a commitment card. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes. But as we watch the video, if the welcome teams, if you would come. So would you watch this, please? Well, as you can see, there are four main areas we believe God's calling us to make some noise in over these next 12 months. One of those areas is in the arena of our families. Without a doubt, and we all know this, God has placed us in an area that is surrounded by families. And, you know, which means, of course, that we have to continue to create irresistible environments for our children as well as teenagers. And see, here's what we know, okay? Effectively reaching children and teens is not nearly as easy as it used to be. And those of you who grew up in church, you know that. If you doubt that, go get a flannel board and some little Jesus figures, and put them on there and see how excited the kids are going to get, okay? That might have worked for you and me. I know for me, when I was a kid, you could throw a bed sheet over a bookshelf and have a puppet show. That's all you needed. Now kids don't even like puppets. And they're kind of scary, aren't they? Anyway, but I mean, things have changed, okay? So for one, okay, look, the level of media and technology that kids and teens are surrounded by every day of their lives is beyond anything this world has ever seen before. And since we believe that God's called us to reach out and create environments for unchurched families right here in our community, it means that we have got to be committed to continually raising the bar with excellence and creativity in everything we do. And so over these next 12 months, we want to do exactly that. And to do that at the level that will take us where we need to go to the next level, we're going to be making an investment this year of $30,000 in our family ministries. Now, what that $30,000 will allow us to do is to take our existing environments and go to the next level with things like decor, multimedia, sound, lighting, and a handful of other elements that we're really excited about. In fact, you may not know this, but we have already run out of space with our children's ministry. In fact, we have already begun spending money and expanding and doing some things we actually thought we had more time to do. So now that big room right in the middle of our building that is currently our student ministry room, guess what? It is now the student ministry room / new kindergarten room. And so what we're doing is we're creating an environment in there that works great for kids on Sundays, and then we can change it, and it's a great environment for teenagers on Wednesday nights when they gather. See, we're trying to be as innovative and smart as possible, because right now, you know, it's either we do those kind of creative things or we add on to our mortgage, woo, which we don't want to do. Anyway, so this next year, to take our children's student environments to the next level, to do that, we need to invest at least $30,000 in our family environments. The second initiative for this year has to do with another really important environment, and that is in this room right here, or auditorium. By the way, this is really a nice room, isn't it? You think so? Yeah, it's beautiful. And we're thankful. I'm telling you, we are so thankful to have such a beautiful place to come together and to worship God in every week. But here's what we know. Again, okay, what was effective in reaching people yesterday is not necessarily going to be effective in reaching people tomorrow. And so over these next 12 months, we are going to make a significant investment in this room right here, which in turn is going to impact our weekend gatherings in a big way. For example, this will include everything from one of the things we need to do in this room badly is we need a new, and you may not know this, some of these things you might not even recognize or know of, but these are things we think about and talk about all the time. One of the things we need is a new house lighting system for this room right here. Right now, we really have a tough time creating the kind of, now we've worked with what we have and we've tried to make it happen and it's still pretty good, but it's nothing compared to what we would be able to do if we were able to control the lighting in this room with a switch like this versus fluorescent lights that take 10 minutes to come back on, which make everybody look green anyway. So right now it's either on or off. So same thing with our skylights. If you notice these windows up here, it's really not dark outside, but in order to do some of the stuff we want to do, we've had to darken. For example, Christmas Eve service was like, I think it was like 3 o'clock or something. We had four of them. One was like at 3 o'clock. And we said, you know what? It's not going to be a really great candlelight service because it's daylight. So you know what we did? We had some guys come over and put black garbage bags over the windows. So that's what's on top of those windows right now. Every once in a while, one of them flies off. We got to climb up there and tape it down. Well, the problem with that is it gives us no flexibility to, at certain, like we would love at times during the message time to be able to open those up and a natural light come in. We would like to be able to, when videos come on, for them to darken. The shades that are on there now don't do it. So that's another thing we want to do. Another thing, we want to add a center screen that will literally fill the entire wall right behind where I'm standing. I'm telling you, the things that we would be able to do with multimedia and video, it'll blow your mind. And same thing with a new lighting system. I mean, how about the videos you've seen us do, huh? Those videos, I mean, the videos have been great. I mean, I think so anyway, don't you? Videos have been spectacular. But here's the thing. Almost all of the videos you've seen have been done on borrowed equipment. Cameras, computers, software. And so here's the deal. I mean, it's time for us to invest in this area and acquire the tools that we need to continue to produce excellent videos. And we want to take it to a new level. And so that's another investment we want to make this year. Another thing, we got our little family room out there that's way too small. I don't know what we were thinking. Way too small. So we want to purchase and install 3 flat screen television monitors out in our foyer, which will allow us to broadcast our services live. It will allow us to create overflow sections in the building. So as more and more people continue to come to the Orchard, we'll be prepared and equipped to handle the crowds that God's going to bring. And just to give you an idea, too, how many of you were at Christmas Eve candlelight services? Were those outstanding or what? I mean, amen. The multimedia, the lighting, all of that. Listen to me now. As great as that was, let me just say this. By the end of this year, that is what we're going to have in here every single weekend, that level of quality. Isn't that exciting? But I'll tell you, it's expensive. Technology is not cheap. Now, if we want to do a hokey job, then it's cheap. But we don't want to do a hokey job. Man, if there's any place that should do it right, it's the church. And so we want to do it well. Now, the cost for doing all of that, the lighting, the screens, the TV, the camera, the skylight, the shades, all of that, the editing equipment, all of that combined is going to require an additional investment of $75,000 over these next 12 months. And I'll tell you, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Because the things we're going to be able to do, I'm telling you, are going to blow your mind. 2 more areas I want to talk about. Staffing. In case you don't know this, currently we have 5 full-time staff and 5 part-time staff here at the Orchard. And I'm going to tell you, every one of them is passionately sold out to the mission of this church. And here's something else you need to know. We have a board of elders, okay? And these guys have been serving in this capacity now. Actually, believe it or not, it's the same group of men that have served in this capacity since before our transition and change 3 or 4 years ago. It's the same group of men, and I'm going to tell you something. Every one of these guys are 100% on board with what God is doing here at the Orchard. And what they continually say is, you know what? We're here as an accountability. We're here as to be there for you, Scott, as the pastor. But we believe the staff and the pastor should be leading the church, which means we don't have to vote every time we want to do something. We don't have to have 19 committee meetings. We're able to lead as God calls us to lead. And you need to know that, because that is a very good thing. If you've been around church any length of time, you know that's a very good thing. Anyway, but we're at a place now where we have to expand our team. Part of that reason is obviously because as the church grows, you know, the needs increase. The need for leadership, especially on a full-time staff level, increases. Areas like small groups. Man, we are itching to really get small groups just booming here, but we also recognize that it takes leaders. Now, we are launching actually more small groups in the next few weeks, so we're excited about that. But it's not nearly what we would like to be able to do. Connection events, things like that, men's connection, women's connection. These are things we want to do, but it takes staff people to be able to equip and empower leaders to run these areas. Same thing with on a pastoral and an executive level. I'm telling you, I need help. Man, I need help so that I can continue to, and you need me to do this, to narrow my focus on my primary role, which is to lead you and to feed you, to help you learn how to feed yourself. It actually is a better way, but that's the ultimate goal, is that you learn how to feed yourself. But we equip you to be able to do that. And I'll tell you this, as a staff, and I'm telling you, as much as we love our church, and we love it, I mean, this is our life, we've devoted our lives to this, as much as we love this church, it doesn't even come close to how much we love our families. Which means that I'm committed to making sure that our team does not allow ministry to take precedence over their relationship with their families or their relationship with God. I'm telling you, we can't let that happen, because if it happens, guess what? Not only do we lose, you lose. And so that means we have to be willing to step out and bring some help on board. And so bringing additional staff onto our team is another big focus over these next 12 months. Here's something you might find interesting. Statistically, they say that when a church environment reaches 70 to 80% capacity, the church will stop growing, or whatever ministry environment it is will stop growing. Well, guess what? We're there. Our children's ministries, they've been there, and even more and more. Now, today, we're kind of, I don't know where everyone's at. Spring break, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, But even right here in our auditorium, we're finding ourselves there right now, which means that we have two options. Either we can go build another building, which we're not going to do right now, or we can find more opportunities for people to come together and worship. And so this fall, this is exciting. We're planning this fall to launch a third worship service, which is either going to happen probably on Saturday nights or maybe Sunday nights. And then on top of that, we're also considering adding a fourth service shortly thereafter. Is that exciting to you guys? And so what that means is that it's possible that by this time next year, we will have doubled the amount of services we are currently doing. And I'll tell you, that scares the daylights out of me. But it's also exhilarating, it's exciting, and it's another reason, though, that we have to continue to build our team here at the Orchard. So over these next 12 months, we want to invest $120,000 to the area of leadership and staffing. Now, that is not one person, okay, just so you know. Believe me. This is actually, you know, we're looking at either 2 to 3 full-time or part-time roles that we'll be able to hire in this arena. So I'm telling you, is this exciting to you guys? Now, one last area that I want to talk about, and that is in the area of global missions. Our goal this year, and I'm so excited about this, is to take 10% of every dollar that comes in from our vision initiative and invest that directly into our missionaries that we've partnered with this last year, which means that people like Jim and Judy Larson, okay, who are in Bangkok and who have a ministry that rescues women from the sex trade industry. It also means that people like our friends Damien and Nancy McCrink, who are getting ready to move and establish a home in Mozambique for rescued AIDS orphans. It means that we get to go to a whole new level in partnering with these missionaries. And our goal this year to be able to do this is to give $25,000 to missions all over this world. Amen. Is that exciting? I'm excited. So anyway, I'm telling you, there is a lot to accomplish, and there's a lot to invest. But I also know that we can do it. I am 100% confident that we're going to do this, and we're going to do even more. You watch what God does. Now, let me just kind of wrap all this up and show you this. Our financial goals for this next year, and this doesn't include things like baptism. Last year, we had 80 people. This year, we're going to have 100 people get baptized. Don't you think? I believe that. 100 people. Small groups. By the end of the year, we want to see 20% of our church involved in small groups. So, I mean, there's other goals here, but these are financial goals. Family ministry, $30,000 investment. Auditorium, media, /technology, $75,000. Staffing and leadership, $120,000. Global missions, $25,000, which means that our total goal for these next 12 months over and above our designated budget is going to be $250,000. And so over these next 12 months, our goal and what we're believing God for is that we as a community would pull together and not just approach it like, well, I'm just going to reach in for whatever I might have extra laying around, okay? No, I'm talking about the kind of giving that when you give it, you feel it. I'm telling you, there is something to that kind of giving in your life and mine. When you give, that you feel it. And man, you begin getting in areas of sacrificial giving that, you know what, maybe this year, maybe I don't have to do that thing. Maybe I don't have to do this or that. Maybe instead, I'm going to plant this into this vision. And so let me just say this. This is the kind of giving that stretches us and challenges us. And let me just say, real clearly, we're not doing this because we're desperate for money. We're not doing this because, well, if this doesn't happen, we're going down. We've been there, and we're not there now. I'm telling you, God has blessed us abundantly, and this is exciting too. Outside of our monthly mortgage payment right now, which is like around 20, what is it, hon? I can't see you. $24,000 a month is our mortgage, and do you realize we pay $200,000 a year in interest alone? $200,000 stinking thousand dollars. So let's get this stuff taken care of so we can get that taken care of, you know, next year or whatever. Anyway, but let me just say, God has blessed us. Outside of our mortgage payment, we owe $0 to anyone. We are debt-free outside of our mortgage. I'm telling you, guys, listen, God is meeting our needs. We're doing better now financially than we've ever done. So all of these things we're talking about here, this is about going beyond what we are able to do just with our budget. And see, what we could do is we could say, well, let's wait. Maybe 3 years from now, we'll get to that place where that would just be a part of our budget or whatever. But I don't want to wait. And I don't think we should wait, because I'm going to tell you, man, this community is growing rapidly. People are coming into this area faster than we can even keep track. And I'm telling you, we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. Do you guys believe that? I do. So let me just say, this is not just an opportunity to just give and help the Orchard expand its mission, although that's really what it's all about. But I'm going to tell you something. There is even something deeper at work when we do this kind of thing. And that is what happens to you and to me when we step out in faith, just like Joshua and his people, when we step out in faith and we hear God's voice, and we begin making noise. And the areas that I've shared with you today are the areas that we believe God's called us to make some serious noise in over this coming year. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You should have received a card by now. Would you take that? Let me just see if you have that. If you did not get one, would you just lift your hand up? Now, some of you are going to find we already filled yours out. Oh, I'm just kidding. You guys are like, what? No, that's a joke. Anyway, this card is a commitment card. And what I'm going to ask you to do, my voice is going, isn't it? What I'm going to ask you to do is this. I want you to take some time this next week. We have 7 days. What a number. What a number, huh? I mean, 7 days. Look what God did. Look at what God did in 7 days. And I'm telling you, God can do something pretty incredible in our lives in a matter of 7 days. No problem at all. And so I'm going to ask you to take this card. And I'm going to ask you to take your time between now and next weekend to, first of all, just pray and ask God what he would have you do. We don't want you giving out of guilt or out of anything other than that you're excited about the mission of this church and you believe God's called you to be here and to be a part of it, okay? But we want you to pray, ask God what he would have your involvement be, and ask him, God, how do you want to stretch me? How do you want to use me this next year in the area of finances when it comes to this mission? Now here's the deal, okay? Now, listen. Okay, this is not just about a select few people getting involved to make this happen. All right, this is not for those who can afford it or those whatever. This is for everyone, including me and my wife, our family, our staff. Everyone is getting in the game with this. And we have taken time. And I'll tell you what my wife and I do, usually with these kind of things, we'll say, okay, you pray, I'll pray. And whoever has the lower number, that's what we'll go with. No, I'm kidding. And of course, my wife always has a stinking higher number, always. Good. Thank God for her. But see, here's what I just think should happen. I think, like we talked about a few weeks ago with this whole journey of generosity, you just need to ask yourself, where am I at in this journey? And if everyone took one step forward, that's it. Which means if you come here and you're part of the church and you don't give anything, just take a step forward and begin giving something. Maybe you don't tithe. We believe in that. We teach it. Maybe that's your next step is tithing. Maybe you tithe and your next step is God saying, okay, I'm going to start stretching you. You're going to start feeling it, okay? Perhaps that's your next step. And I think if we all just take one step forward, this $250,000 is going to be nothing. Nothing. What we will be able to invest is going to be beyond anything we've dreamt of. I'm telling you, we can do this. And anyway, so if you take your card, what we want to ask you to do is take this home and fill it out. And we put on here a giving guide. This is just some examples because we thought it might be helpful to see, okay, if I give this much per week, then that's what it would equal out per year. And, you know, if you notice, it starts at $15 a week all the way up to $1,000 a week. And I realize most of us can't do $1,000 a week, okay? But a lot of us could do $15 a week or $25 or $50 a week. Look, cut out the Starbucks. Not that I'm going to do that, but I'm just saying. I'm not saying, look, I'll find other areas to cut, okay? Anyway, It's between me and God, not you, all right? Anyway. So if you would, we want you to take this home. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to do two things. Take it home, pray about it, fill the card out, come back next Sunday, which we're calling Commitment Sunday. That's a Sunday we're all going to come together and we're going to make our commitments to God. The other thing I'm going to ask you to do, if you would, is next Sunday, if you could make an effort to give as much of your commitment up front as possible, we would really appreciate that, because we would love to not have to wait out a few months before we start doing things. We would love to hit it head on and start doing things. Because I'll tell you what, Easter's coming, and what's going to happen as a result of Easter this year, I mean, is going to be spectacular. So we want to be ready, and we want to jump in and dive into what God wants for us. So if you would, take these home, pray about it, ask God what he would have you do. Come back next week ready to commit and ready to give whatever you can up front of your pledge, of your commitment. And I tell you, we just want to ask you to do your best and to do what God's pulling on your heart to do. We're not trying to pull on your heartstrings. You know, we don't have any violins here right now. Anyway, let's get ready, guys, to make some noise in 2007. You guys ready to do this? I think we are. I'm ready. And let's take a moment, if we can. Let's just bow our heads before the Lord this morning. God, it's a lot to digest, but it's so good. It's so good. God, I just feel like we are so on the verge of seeing things happen that God, we've been praying for years and years and years. And God, you're preparing hearts. You're touching hearts even now. One of the things we recognize is that everything we have belongs to you. Everything. God, even this building, this is your building. This isn't ours. We don't own it. This is yours. And it's a tool. But one thing we know is that sometimes tools need to be sharpened. God, I believe you're calling us over this next 12 months to sharpen the tools you've given us. And God, as we take time over this next week to pray and to hear your voice, I pray that, God, we would have open hearts and that we would allow you to stretch us, to challenge us, and to take us places in our faith that we've never been before. God, help us as we hear your voice and as we make some noise, because you have given us this community. Let's make some noise, guys.